Why aren't our young people going to the mission field? Why aren't they going to the mission field? I know as well as you do that God doesn't call every young person to the mission field. I just don't think that God doesn't call anybody to the mission field. I think there ought to be an appetite, a desire, an excitement about serving God with your life. And yes, if God lets you and calls you to do that full time, that's just an extra bonus. But if he doesn't, man, you're still going to do it with every moment you can scrounge up and appropriate for that purpose. What is happening and what do we need to change? So I am entitling this, and again, I'm not normally a very negative person, but you know what, folks? If we stop preaching in our pulpits against the negatives, we're never going to get positive. So I don't apologize for it. I just usually don't format it this way. I decided to entitle the message this: How to Keep Your Kids Off the Mission Field. How to Keep Your Kids Off the Mission Field. How to Keep Your Kids Off the Mission Field. Let me read these 12 things to you, all right? Number one, create a carnal, lukewarm atmosphere in your home. Why does Satan work so hard to bring carnality into Christian homes? Listen, because carnal, lukewarm Christian homes seldom produce young people who will serve God part-time or full-time. They'll learn how to build the facade. They'll learn how to play the game. They'll learn how to act one way at church and another way in the world. But they seldom, those kind of homes, seldom ever produce somebody that will go into full-time work or that will be used even in an impact as in a layman, lay leadership position in a church. And so the devil knows this. And so he is pushing hard for us to be carnal. Carnal in our thinking, carnal in our activities. Folks, to back off this thing with our young people and allow things into our home to be viewed and watched and to be talked about that we wouldn't have 10 years ago. The devil's always working to advance that cause and to try to have us create homes that have a carnal, lukewarm environment. And so, if you want to keep your kids off the mission field, if that is your secret desire, let carnality reign in your home, and you probably won't have to worry about them being interested in surrendering to do much of anything for the Lord. Number two, seek to create and encourage divisions in the congregation. Seek to create and encourage divisions in the congregation. Now, of all the things that Paul, now pay attention to me, covers in the book of 1 Corinthians, the one thing that is taught by its absence is this: they weren't producing full-time workers. Do you know why they weren't? If Satan wants to keep your children from going into full-time work or from really growing up and serving God, then he will encourage you or tempt you or slowly get you to inch your way into having a carnal, lukewarm home. If he wants to Blessed Hope Baptist Church to get to the point where we no longer turn out workers, then he's going to try to make this a carnal church. Now, folks, whether or not you believe this or not, carnality in the Bible is not identified, at least in the Church of Corinth, necessarily by the things that tend to come to our mind the quickest. The case for carnality is presented in chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Do you know how we can keep our young people disinterested in serving God? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not meat, and hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. What's the proof of it? For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? You see, folks, the mark of a carnal church, and I'm all for separation, and you know how I stand on it when I preach on it. I'm against Hollywood. I'm against the rock and roll crowd. I'm against all the filth and nonsense that's going on out there. Listen to me. But isn't it interesting? None of that's mentioned in these verses. The way to turn a church into a carnal church is to get schisms going, to get divisions going, to get this family not liking this family. These young people don't like these young people. This group don't like that group. This person is jealous of this person because of the way they're being used at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I'm not being used, or I wanted that and they got it instead, so I'm going to throw a hissy fit and talk about, well, that group over there, this group over that. I'm telling you, you are holding up a big sign that says, I am carnal, and your young people are reading that sign in your home and around the church. Now, if you can't look around this auditorium right now and look eye to eye to every person in this auditorium and love them and be glad for them and be thrilled the way God's using them, if your heart's full of jealousy and envy and strife amongst yourself, folks, we will not. I don't care what I preach from this pulpit. I don't care what sermon series. I don't care what program I introduce. We will not turn out young people with a fervor and a heart to serve Almighty God. Now listen to me. Listen, I'm pleading with you. Carnal homes, that's cut off the source. That's cut off the greenhouse where we used to grow young people with a fervency for God and a heart for God. It's broken the windows out of the greenhouse. Carnality in the church, which is typified by not wearing shorts, by not long hair and earrings, but by, and I'm not for those things, but not by those things. It's identified by inward sins that Christians will not deal with. This junior high mentality of jealousy and envy and this group and this clique, and let's talk about them and let's be for this person. And boy, the preacher put him in that spot, and I think he should have put this person, or I didn't get this. Folks, as long as that's here, and to the extent that it's here, it's going to dampen our ability, no matter how many hours we put in, no matter what we do, is going to dampen our ability to ever produce an army of young people that really are excited and wanting to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, let me just hit this real quickly. Discourage them. Number three, how do you keep your kids off the mission field? Encourage a carnal, lukewarm atmosphere in your home. Seek to create and encourage divisions in the congregation. Number three, discourage them from surrendering to full-time Christian service. Discourage them from, oh, I don't do that. You better listen to yourself. You know, just because you've never said the words, I don't want you to go into full-time Christian service, your young people, they read your body language, they watch you roll your eyes, they watch you talk about young people that are surrendering. You know, I'm not God. And it's not my job to call people or not call them, but I'm just telling you, there's too many young people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that has all the potential, all the gifts, all the training. And you're not going to tell me that God does not want some of them to full-time dedicate their life to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are they so hesitant to do it? Would they face a mom and dad that would be crying, slobbering, happy, rejoicing, or skeptical and would lecture them on the way home if they walked up here and surrendered? I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. It's happening on fundamental churches all over the place. Well, I got to be careful, but I'm going to tell you, I've watched young people surrender, and I've watched mom and dad just beat the stuffings out of that till they just gave up and went out and did what mom and dad wanted them to do. Number four, how to keep your kids off the mission field. Never get involved in soul winning efforts of your church. I'm talking about you personally, not whether you let your kids or not, you personally, because what you let them do and what you do speaks louder than what you let them do. So the best way to keep them off the mission field is just send the quiet, loud, constant signal, souls are not important. Souls are really not that big a deal. Number five, find reasons to keep them away from surrender environments. Find reasons to keep them away from surrender environments. Now, they're not excuses. I know they're valid reasons. So you find them. Make sure they're valid, and just keep with it. I mean, let's keep them away from church camps. I mean, if it's a skating activity, let's let them go. But if it's a preaching conference, let's find a reason not to let them go. I mean, just send the signal loud and clear that, you know what, there are some activities that ought to be planned at this church, and they're the fun activities, because that's what youth ministry is supposed to be is. Is just creating a bunch of fun time for a bunch of kids so they can go out there and have a bunch of carnal fun. But you know what? These crazy notions Pastor Jerry has about actually wanting our kids to go into surrender environments. Sometimes where they get into the prolonged preaching of God's word in a spiritual atmosphere where God has a chance to break through so much of the carnality and filth of this world and maybe for the first time touch their heart. Listen, if you just keep them away from that stuff, you're probably not going to have to worry about it. Number six, allow them to criticize and hold in disdain men of God. You see, they're never going to surrender to be somebody that they hold in disdain or a position they hold in disdain. They're never going to do it. They're never going to do it. And so what you want to do is you want to make sure that they have permission, and you give them permission by when they do it, not say anything about it or kind of chuckle under your breath, to come home and criticize the preacher, to make derogatory comments about missionaries that come through or evangelists that come through. I mean, let them criticize the preacher. Better yet, you do it, and then they'll have that reinforced in their mind. Have the old time-honored Sunday dinner roast preacher. Just do that on a regular basis, and you won't have to worry about it. Your kids are not going to end up on the mission field. You'll have Johnny down the road here, Susie down the road here. Life will be good, and you know what? The world will still be going to hell in a handbasket, but you'll have your way because that's what's important. That's why God put us here. Amen? Brother Jerry, you're being facetious. I tire of Christians and young people of Christian families who feel like they have a blank check to criticize the staff. Now, let me just share this with you. Is it that you want that I want to be right? No. Listen to me. Please listen to me. We have grown, I promise you this is true, to the saturation point. We have grown to the place where we cannot go to the next level if you cannot accept the people that we hire and delegate responsibilities to. This is the size church that the average pastor, even a gifted pastor, can do everything in. And he, at some point, if a church is going to go forward, we have to delegate some things. We have to hire some people, and we have to share the responsibility. The devil does not, listen to me, the devil does not want this church to grow. He does not want to see us averaging 300, then 350, 400. So what he does, he gets amongst the congregation, and there's a haughtiness that gets into us, and well, you know, I'm not listening to them. I mean, Pastor Jerry, fine, but I don't think she ought to. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, listen to me. That's carnal. It's wrong. And it's sending a message to your children. You have permission to go into that environment, whether it's the school, the youth group, the classroom, one of the ministries here, and you have my permission, whether you say it or not, by criticizing, you're saying it. You have my permission to go there with the wrong attitude, to not have to do what they say, to fight them tooth and nail. And you know what? That kind of young person is not going to end up on the mission field or serving God, because they're going to hold in disdain the very positions that we're hoping one day they'll fill. Truth was just spoken from this pulpit. I mean, I'm pleading with you folks. I'm telling you right now. You know what? I'm not an Old Testament prophet, but I got enough sense, and I walk close enough to God to tell you that Blessed Hope Baptist Church is on the precipice of something. And the only way that it can be stopped is if we stop it. The devil can't stop it. The world can't stop it, but we can stop it. And you know what? As we bring people in here, and as we hire people, and as we have to, if we're going to expand, we have to. Folks, get ready. We're going to have to split the adult class. We're going to have to start new adult classes. We're going to have to start doing some things that allows us to multiply by dividing. But if there is this small church, envy, strife, jealousy, mentality, I don't have a big enough piece of the pie anymore, so I'm going to sit here in my pew and stink the place up, then you will hinder the growth of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And the cure is not for you to leave. The cure is for you to get right with God, to get that thing behind you, to stop letting the devil have victory in your life, and get on board and support the staff that we have right now. Number seven, never sacrifice as a family. How do you keep your kids off the mission field? Never sacrifice as a family for a missionary or a missions project. Just never do it. Now, let Brother Jerry say all he wants about missions giving, building fund. Just, hey, you know what? It don't matter. Bless Wigan, we got our problems. We got our needs. We've done enough for that church. And just project that attitude, and you will not have to worry about your young people surrender in full-time Christian service. Number 8, don't let them spend too much time in missionary hall unless it's to flirt or goof off. I mean, let's turn missionary hall into a flirt place or a goof-off place. Let's not let it be what it was intended to be, sacred ground where our young people can spend some time reading some letters and having their heart burdened about missions. I mean, let's just hide around the corner some guys and girls and flirt around and goof around and sneak around. Let's do that. Let's have our young people get involved in that type of stuff right in missionary hall, and we won't have to worry about them ending up on the mission field. Number 9, listen to me, raise them to be prejudiced. Raise them to be prejudiced, and you'll keep them off the mission field. There's not too many white, redneck, Green County type foreign countries that need evangelized. I promise you, it's in this church. Some of you young people sit there and you watch the slides, and you know how much compassion you had for those people? Zero. You know why? Not the same color as you. I mean, they don't have souls anyway. Sure they do. Sure they do. I mean, you understand why a Brother Tillman's a Brother Tillman? It's because when he looks at that disfigured face, he sees a soul that Jesus Christ died for. I love this. And by the way, this is crazy. Funniest thing I heard Brother Tillman say at dinner. I just about fell off the chair at Stoll's. He said this. Watch this. This is crazy. He said, oh, I'm not prejudiced. We're all prejudiced to a certain extent. Get off this. Well, I'm not. Yes, you are. So am I. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, not because he didn't want to go into ministry, because he was prejudiced against the people of Nineveh. That's it, folks. I guarantee you, that's what Jonah's all about. Watch this. Brother Tillman said, well, I got to tell you another story. This is not going to be the shortest message I've ever preached. I just removed that disclaimer because I got to share with you 2 stories. The first one doesn't have anything to do with anything. The second one will illustrate what I... He said he had the home for the infirmed, an infirmary home, and then he had the leper colony. That's for people that still are sick or have problems, but they don't have leprosy, so they have that home. There was a lady that lived in that home, and her condition got so bad she had to go to the hospital for a while. She had a little dog, and she told Brother Tillman, those lepers, while I'm in the hospital, will try to get my dog and eat it. You have got to protect my dog. Just go to the hospital. I'll take care of it. They're not going to bother. Listen, I know them. They will. You got to do it. I'm holding you responsible. Don't worry. I will make sure your dog's fine. I'll go by, feed it. I'll watch it. He said, you know, I got all busy. He said she was in there about 3 or 4 days. He went by to feed the dog, and it was gone, and some of the lepers had got it and eaten it. He said, I had to, he said, Brother Jerry, I've had to make visits where I told people their loved ones were dead and every imaginable thing. He said, I'm sorry, this is a shame to say it. I have never been so scared to go tell a woman anything in my life. I walked that hospital room and I said, ma'am, I don't know how to tell you this, but he said she was so mad she was trying to rip tubes and things out of her. She was going to go kill those lepers. Watch this. Now this is hysterical, but I think it teaches us something. They also have a colony or a group of AIDS people in the area. Brother Tillman started going over and reaching them for Christ. Watch this. Some of them wanted to come from their AIDS colony over to attend the leper colony church. And he almost had a church split over it because the lepers were saying, we're not worshiping with those AIDS people. Here's a group of people that's outcast from society. Nobody wants anything to do with them, but they have their standards too, you know. We may be lepers, but we don't worship with AIDS patients, man. No way. Watch that. He told me I had to start a church for the AIDS patients and one for the lepers because they... Now, wait a minute. What I'm telling you is this. It's all in us. I don't care who you are. It's all in us to a certain degree. But if we pour water and fertilize that thing, our young people is going to grow up with a haughty, better than thou, I'm better than other people. You know what? They're going to hell. It's just their problem. It's their culture. It's their beliefs. Who cares? And they will not end up on the mission field. Number 10, mentor before them, and I want to show you a verse on this, mentor before them a haughty, pharisaical attitude. Look, if you will, at chapter 1, Corinthians, verse 26. The reason I read this portion of Scripture is, folks, put this under the microscope later on, but verse 26 through 31 tells why God calls and when God calls and why sometimes He won't call. Now listen to this, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now look up here and listen to what I'm going to say. If we raise our kids to have a I'm better than other people, there's my family and us and our little group, and then there's those bus kids, or there's those other families in the church, or there's those other kids that just aren't as spiritual. You put that in them, you do not have to worry. They'll be half mile this way. And by the way, if your kids end up next door to you, praise God. If that's God's perfect will, I'm not. But I'm just saying they won't be open to it. You know why? Because they're up here, and God will not call into the ministry a proud, haughty Pharisee. He won't do it. Now, I mentioned in the beginning about the lukewarm. Watch this. You think about this. Now, it says not many, so I'm not saying that there's never an exception to this rule. But you think about this. When in my I was reviewing in my office, Dad, but it seems like the people that called into full-time ministry are called out of almost horrible situations or unsafe situations or red-hot Christian family situations, but you won't see many of them in this lukewarm, carnal, know-how-to-do-the-facade thing, smiling, hi, preacher, and then as soon as they're in the car, you just don't see it. You know why? Because those kids sat in the back seat and listened to that for 18 years, and they think, you know what, this whole thing's a crock. And they, watch this, think that every Christian is like you. And young people, every Christian's not. They're not. So isn't it interesting that the ones that God eliminates are the ones that some of us think ought to be first in line? I mean, I think God, in my tenure here, has jumped over some core member family kids and grabbed a bus kid and said, I think I can brush you off a little bit and scrub you down and send you into the ministry, but I can't her or him. You know why? Because they're so stuck on themselves. They think they're so superior to everybody else. I can't use them. And the only way he can is usually do something in their life that brings, I mean, humbles them. Just, you know. Okay? Number 11. 11. Raise them to be materialistic. Let me just say this, and I don't have to convince you this. Are you listening to Brother Tillman's testimony this morning? I slept under that overpass. I slept in this hut. Sat down, you know. Americans can't even fathom that. Mrs. Townsley went out the door, shook my hand, and said, Pastor Jerry, we have too much, don't we? Amen. 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 Stop giving in to their whining. Please, 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 please. See, materialistic, money-motivated young people just don't make good missionaries. They are not going to sacrifice to go to the mission field. Because, see, they think they deserve a certain standard of living, certain lifestyle, certain amount of money, certain car, certain. And, buddy, they're not going to give that up for anybody. And I think this, I said it the other day, but I think materialism is the cancer that may kill fundamentalism. We just have too much. And we hold on to it too tight. And with God, it's come up here and lay every single thing you have on the altar and be willing to go anywhere I tell you to go with just the clothes on your back, bud. And how many young people are willing to walk up here and sign that contract in this day and age? But you know what? That's what the deal is. And the deal's not changing. And God's not going to rearrange the contract to fit you. That's the deal. You take your Isaac, bring him up there, and stick a knife in your Isaac. You sign a blank piece of paper at an altar and say, here, God, you fill it in. Whatever it says, I'll do. Wherever you say, I'll go. However I have to live, that's the way I have to live. Pastor Ross is trying to help this little church in Evansville find a... You know why? Nobody wants to take a little church somewhere they're going to have to roll their sleeves up and actually go to work. I mean, what happened? And this man's walked the walk. He resigned the high-paying job. He lived on peanuts. You know what? Because he had the privilege of being in the ministry. And materialistic things didn't play a part in it. He had the privilege of preaching and being in the ministry. And man, however we have to live, we need to just live because it's a great opportunity and there's a need and we just need to do this. Where's that? Number 12, and we're done. Never use the church altar during an invitation. And that's probably the best way, along with these other ways, to keep your child from ever having the mentality that maybe there's a reason I ought to go up there. Just don't use the church altar during the invitation. How do you keep your kids off the mission field? Encourage a carnal, lukewarm atmosphere in your home. Seek to create and encourage divisions in the congregation. Discourage them from surrendering to full-time service. Never get involved in the soul-winning efforts of your church. Find reasons to keep them away from surrender environments. Allow them to criticize and hold in disdain men of God. Never sacrifice as a family for a missionary or missions project. Don't let them spend too much time in missionary hall unless it is to flirt or goof off. I like that one. Number 9, raise them to be prejudiced. 10, mentor before them a haughty Pharisaical attitude. Number 11, raise them to be materialistic. Number 12, never use the church all during an invitation. That'll pretty much do it. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to go back to our roots. To find the old paths, to find the ancient landmarks that have been moved and put them back where they ought to be in our lives. Oh God, please. There was a time I saw a bit of it. I think I saw the tail end of it. There was a time when young people were excited about the things of God. There was a fervor and a zeal. There was a spirit of revival, just a touch of revival. There was people like Brother Tillman, Bob Hamlin, Pastor Robert Ross, men of that generation that God just whispered and spoke once, and all to Jesus I surrender, and where do I sign up, and what do I do, and how much do I have to sacrifice, and who cares? Where do you want me, Lord? Where do I go? What do I do? And now, Lord, it's technology and new cars and nice houses and money in the wallet and worshiping clothes and fashion and chasing the world and carnality and gossiping and divisions and bickering and criticism. And we wonder why we're not producing missionaries. We wonder why we're not producing full-time Christian workers. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. In Jesus' name I pray. My heads are bowed, eyes are closed.